Welcome to the JOB Wrestling Podcast, the only podcast recorded in Buffalo, New York that brings you all WWE, TNA, ROH, and indie wrestling news. With your host, recording artist, chronic masturbator, registered vapist, blue collar asshole, Miley Cyrus's hairstylist, and a regular at your local strip club, Relentless and Joe City.
Hey everybody, how's it going? This is the JOB Podcast. This is our third episode, and third of the month, actually.
And the downloads were a little lower than it was a week before, but that's alright. We're going to come at you with some more wrestling news from this week. Thank you for downloading us on iTunes and on Podomatic.com. So let's get right into it. Royal Rumble was Sunday, and it was a pretty bad pay-per-view.
Oh, it was a horrible pay-per-view. The pre-show match was the best match. I fucking botched.
There you go.
It was the best match on the card. Mac and cheese is sticking in the roof of my mouth.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that was the only match that was worth watching. The Daniel Bryan Wyatt match was horrible.
Oh God.
The Cena Orton match. They had to start doing each other's moves just to make it look good.
It was like WrestleMania with The Rock and Cena.
I was very disappointed in the Rumble itself.
Oh, my God. Only thing that was exciting was Kofi Kingston, what he did with the legs and then jumping the 11 feet.
Which I said he was going to do something.
Yeah, you're right. And then Kevin Nash, and that was it.
Yeah, Kevin Nash coming back. So let's go right in the Raw. We saw... Jake the Snake get inducted. Well, we'll be inducted.
Yeah,
this
year, we'll be inducted.
Which we kind of called that. Hopefully Macho Man will be up, too.
He has to be.
He's got to be. What else happened there? We had the Wyatts screwing the Shield out of the Elimination Chamber match. They had
qualifiers, yeah.
Sheamus, Daniel Bryan, and John Cena.
Of course, Cena.
Orton will be in there.
Yeah.
Also, we didn't watch SmackDown this week. It's not even on yet, but I read the spoilers. And Cesaro ends up beating Dolph Ziggler, I think. Dolph Ziggler for the qualifying match. I don't know. I think that's what it was. Cesaro's in it anyway. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And Swagger lost to Christian, and Christian's not in the Elimination Chamber match. Could have to do with CM Punk maybe leaving.
Yeah, that could have a reason to do with it.
The tag rematch on Raw, what'd you think of that?
Oh, that was a really great match. I can't wait to see the cage match they're going to have next week.
So it's a cage match, because I didn't watch really the beginning of Raw. It's going to be a cage match for
yeah,
the titles
cage,
next
for
week?
For the titles, yeah.
So, other news in the WWE, CM Punk
has left.
Walked out, pulled a Stone Cold Steve Austin, just left.
Took his ball, he's going home.
So, obviously it's, I don't think it's a...
It's not a work.
Work.
No, it's not a work.
I don't, what do you think?
I just think he's fed up with the way the product's going, especially somebody like Batista winning the Rumble.
And I'm dead, and you suck now!
Now he's going to get the belt. The same with The Rock winning the belt, coming back. I get where he's coming from. These old guys nobody wants to see anymore are getting opportunities.
Like I said, I think it was the last week or 2 weeks ago, WrestleMania should be your top face against your top heel. Not saying it's CM Punk.
No.
But it should be, you know, it should be the top face versus the top heel. Batista should not be in it. As much, I mean, I don't even care if Batista's back. I mean, he could have been just doing a Brock Lesnar thing where he's going against some random dude. I wouldn't care. But why put him in a match, which it's probably going to be Randy Orton, because it won't be Cena-Batista.
No.
At WrestleMania. Sheamus, no way.
No.
You know Cesaro's not going to win it. No, Christian's not going to win it.
No.
And I doubt that maybe a Daniel Bryan-Batista match, but there's a rumor that Daniel Bryan's going to be going against Triple H at WrestleMania.
Yeah, to take the spot for CM Punk.
So it's probably going to be Orton-Batista. I would have loved to see that 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Not this upcoming WrestleMania. It should be Daniel Bryan against whatever heel they can build up till then.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to see Cesaro. I mean, they should have never put him in a tag team.
No.
And they should have just pushed him to be the biggest heel in the company. And I'm glad he's in this chamber match, because maybe it's a sign that they'll actually fucking do something with him.
Let's hope. I see it too. It's just... WrestleMania doesn't look good. It's 30 years, which is a milestone WrestleMania.
Right.
It's not just WrestleMania 22 or 23 or 4. It's a milestone. It's 30 years long they've been doing this. And your main event's going to be Orton versus Batista?
Exactly.
That says it all. There's no sure definite of The Undertaker. There's no sure definite of what Hogan's going to do or Warrior or anybody's going to do. There's really not anything going on.
Which, I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It'd be a big surprise, but we'll see what happens.
Surprises don't really happen anymore in this era.
So, speaking of CM Punk, that'll get us into our trivia question. Matt, you came up with a trivia question this.
Many days did Punk hold the title?
That would be 434. I get a question for you, though, Matt.
All right.
That 434 days that CM Punk held the title, there were only four other superstars, we'll call them, because we're in the modern era.
Yeah.
That have held it longer than CM Punk. Can you name the four guys?
Doink the Clown, Yokozuna, Bret Hart, and Superstar Billy Graham.
Wow, you actually got all four. No, I'm just fucking with you. We'll tell you the answers a little bit later. Let's get into our Steiner moment of the week.
Holler if you hear me! They say all men are created equal, but you look at me and you look at Small Joe, and you can see that statement is not true. See, normally if you go one-on-one with another wrestler, you got a 50-50 chance of winning. But I'm a genetic freak, and I'm not normal. So you got a 25% at best at beating me. And then you add Kurt Angle to the mix, your chances of winning drastically go down. See, the three-way at Sacrifice, you got a 33 1/3 chance of winning. But I got a 66 2/3 chance of winning because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me and he's not even going to try. So, Samoa Joe, you take your 33 1/3 chance minus my 25% chance and you got an 8 1/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we used to go one-on-one and then add 66 2/3%. I got 141 2/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. See, Joe, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you at Sacrifice.
So that was a whole lot of numbers he threw out there.
That's math with Scott Steiner, apparently.
So he was right. You get a 50-50 chance in a one-on-one match.
Yes, but then a 33 1/3%.
This doesn't make sense. He came up with this equation and gave Samoa Joe like a less than a 25% chance, right? That's originally what he said.
Yes.
That's kind of making sense. And then he added in the three-way with Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went up to 33 1/3% chance?
Yeah, but then he said still he's a genetic freak, so didn't it go down to like 18 or something?
Right. But then he had 66 1/3 2/3. So Kurt Angle has a 0% chance of winning that. But Samoa Joe has a better chance of winning than Kurt Angle?
Apparently. It confuses me.
Because
it makes no sense. It still confuses me. Fucking Einstein would be like, what the fuck is this shit?
And that is why you never let Vince Russo make up your contracts for TNA.
Oh, God.
Don't ever give a man like that creative control to say a word.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
I can see Brock Lesnar doing something like that.
I think because Heyman's next to Lesnar.
I'm saying if you get rid of Heyman, you just have Lesnar go on his own.
I don't think he's that dumb, all right? He has the scream.
I mean, he went to a higher power, higher learning
university
there.
Yeah.
He went to Minnesota, and Scott Steiner went to Michigan. So it shows that those schools up north are very
uneducated.
Very poorly built. So that was a Steiner moment. Speaking of TNA, let's talk about Sting a little bit. Apparently, he signed a contract or is in agreement with something.
By within 2 weeks, they said he should be in the WWE.
This is the way I look at it with Sting. The way they should do it and the way I think they'll do it is two different things. The way they should do it, WrestleMania this year, whoever the Undertaker goes against, lights go out, Sting's up in the rafters, points his bat at the Undertaker, and they build the match for the next year. What they'll probably do is he'll show up as promoting the network or something, you know, like a spokesman.
Yeah.
They probably won't even make a promo for him, and they probably won't even have him wrestle, which isn't a bad thing.
No.
But I don't really see Sting a huge impact. And I don't know why people are going crazy over Sting being in the WWE. I mean, I'd love to see it.
I'd love to see him just do one match that's worth it.
But I don't think it's going to be as big as everyone thinks it's going to be.
No, you're right. I mean, AJ Styles being in WWE would be bigger, you know?
Right. Really, I think, would. Sting, I think they just want him for the name, you know, and that's...
To promote WCW stuff. Right. And to make a DVD of him, make more money off him, the induction ceremony, and sell merchandise. Because they're already drawing up shirts for Sting, actually, which I saw on
What if he inducts Ultimate Warrior? He was a tag partner with him a long while ago, maybe. I don't know.
They could use him for that.
Maybe.
But it would be Steve Borden, not Sting.
That's right. So that'll get into my... this is a little change in subject a little bit. Can't even speak right now.
Neither one of us can.
Yeah, I know. Let's get into my NXT news of the week. Obviously, this was all pre-recorded. Everything's recorded up to the live event. The Ascension, who are the tag champions, went against a Job Squad team, and really, there's no tag teams in NXT. I don't even know why they have titles. It seems like they just throw two guys together and call them a tag team. This Ascension group with Rick Victor, they call him Victor now, and Connor O'Brien, they just call him Connor now. But I don't know. It's
Connor O'Brien, he's definitely not Irish.
I don't really like him. I like Victor, really, but that's about it. Corey Graves made his return. He went against Camacho, hit his lucky number 13 finisher move. It's like a weird version of a figure four, which looks pretty cool, but he's back. Bayley went against Sasha Banks. Bayley got the victory over her with the Bayley to Bayley instead of belly to belly.
Oh, my God.
Pretty corny.
Yeah, it is.
Colin Cassidy beat Tyler Breeze. Oh, actually, Tyler Breeze beat Colin Cassidy, sorry, with Aiden English went backstage and punked out Enzo Amore. I know I just said the word punked out. But Enzo Amore, he has a broken foot. He's in a wheelchair, so Aiden English kind of cornered him, and Colin Cassidy got distracted, and Tyler Breeze picked up the victory. CJ Parker went against The Miz after he bitch-slapped The Miz last week, or the week before. The Miz hit him with the skull-crushing finale and got the victory off of him. And then Bo Dallas beat up on, I don't remember what the guy's name is, but he's another jobber, basically. And they had a contract signing with Adrian Neville for the live NXT on the WWE Network for the title. Hopefully Neville beats him.
Hopefully.
Sick of seeing Bo Dallas. Although, now that he's feuding with Neville, he actually seems like more of a believable character than he was before. Before, he just seemed like a douchebag. Now he's kind of on this darker side, so it's kind of better to see him. I mean, he still sucks as a wrestler. But as character-wise, it's starting to change a little bit, and maybe they're onto something. So also with NXT, Leo Kruger, I read a spoiler, and this is supposed to be after February 27th, so it's going to be after the network. Leo Kruger changed his gimmick, and I think it's official, they changed the gimmick to a Russell Brand-type character. God. I'm very upset with that. I know you are, too.
That's a shame, because I loved this character. In the times that I watched it with you, I loved this character. He was perfect at what he did.
And I've seen, like, a match. He went against Tensai at a house show, and it... Why would you have someone else do that? Why have him do it?
Because they like to ruin whoever they can.
Very disappointing.
All right, now we are going to get into the TNA news. It started off with Gunner and James Storm. James Storm came out, talked about how, you know, he was mad about he didn't get the Feaster Fired briefcase. Rambled on about that. He wanted to see Gunner as a man. Gunner comes in. Whatever. Okay, yeah, good luck to you. That's pretty much it with Gunner and that.
And then we figured out the real meaning of Gunner.
Yeah.
Now, apparently he was a gunman in the Iraqi War.
Yeah.
And what doesn't make sense to me is that when he originally came in the TNA, and he was an immortal, he didn't look like an army guy. He was just...
Purple tights.
Looked like a queer... He just looked like a normal wrestler, you know? And they call him Gunner. And it just didn't make any sense to me until I realized, why is he wearing an army vest? That's not why they call him... Better not why they call him Gunner. And we looked it up, and it really was.
Because they see right through that shit gimmick of yours.
Very, very bad job, TNA.
Too original for my liking. Wow. After that, they had Magnus and E3 versus Angle and Samoa Joe. Angle and Samoa Joe win, title shot. Magnus and E3 win, Angle and Joe leave, which would have been nice if Magnus won.
I would have liked to see Angle and Joe get kicked out of TNA so they can probably just go to the WWE. That would have been fun to see, but that didn't happen. Samoa Joe gets the title shot.
Yeah, a little too late for him, but... after that, they had the weirdo segment with Christy Hemme. And, you know, they're in a house together. This guy, Christy Hemme, puts his hand through his hair, said, "I'll meet you downstairs." Takes the hair, walks into a room, puts it on a fake doll of Christy Hemme where there's a whole bunch of pictures, and it's a weirdo angle that they're doing, apparently. I don't know. A little bit more exciting than what they've been doing. And then it comes down to the American Wolves.
Fuck you and fuck your mom and fuck this and the other.
Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards make their debut. 5'2". They come walking in the ring. Yeah. And they're in their black suits and they're talking about... Well, Davey Richards didn't talk. Thank God for that. Eddie Edwards talked. Still sucks, but better to hear than Davey Richards. Comes in and says how we got the private investor behind us and we're here in TNA and whatever. They leave. Then you had, it was Abyss and Eric Young against the Bromans. Don't really know who won that match, because we weren't paying attention.
But Abyss beat the shit out of the referee.
Yeah, Abyss beat the shit out of the referee. He gave him the shock treatment.
That's what it was.
And that was pretty much it. And then Eric Young challenged him to a Monsters Ball match next week, which should be pretty exciting.
Then Bully Ray came out.
Bully Ray came out with a casket. Said he's going to put Anderson in the casket. Anderson comes out, talks like this to him, hits him with the casket top, like the opening door of it.
Well, my favorite part of that whole segment was Bully Ray talking to Anderson and saying right in front of his face, 2 feet from, not 2 feet, 6 inches from the guy's face, and saying, "I would love to pile drive your wife."
Yeah. That's pretty funny he said that. I think it's a great feud. I think it's the best feud in TNA right now. But a casket match, pretty fucking original.
Yeah, that's Undertaker's
is all I gotta say. Besides that, the investor was shown, and he's none other than MVP.
That's some mid-carder.
And I actually looked up something you actually were talking about.
He owns MVP, but he doesn't own
used in Montavious Porter.
Yeah.
Right.
So he'll just come up with something. It'll be Montel Venereal Parsons or something.
Right, or whatever. But that isn't trademarked, so.
Yeah. And besides that, him coming into TNA, I don't know, what do you think about it?
I'm a fan of him. I didn't like him as a wrestler in the WWE. I like that he has a big following. He's like another cult guy, like on Twitter. Like, everyone loves him for some reason. I don't know why.
He's really big overseas, too.
Right, he's a big guy. He's big overseas, and like I said, he's got a huge following. I don't know why. I didn't like him when he was in the WWE, but it's something different for TNA, and at least they bring back a guy. They bring in a guy that isn't over the age of 50.
Yeah, that's another good thing. You are right.
So, I mean, if you know, times come where he actually has to wrestle, he can wrestle. Mm-hmm. And he can actually move in the ring, not like a Hulk Hogan or a Bischoff or a...
Flair.
Or a Sting or a Flair or a Mick Foley, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that, good for them for actually getting a guy that can actually do something.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm your friend and you're not mine. This difference.
So let's get into ROH. We saw Raymond Rowe in the, the Futures?
Top Prospect. Futures every week. It's
Futures
Top Prospect.
Week.
Yeah.
Top Prospect Tournament. You have Raymond Rowe against Corey Hollis. Corey Hollis is too tiny of a guy. He looked like Cody Rhodes, but like a 16-year-old version of him, you know?
Yes. Wow. You didn't even say that last night. That's actually a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
And Raymond Rowe hit his awesome finish, which we saw 2 weeks ago, where he puts him in a full Nelson, throws him up, and knees him in the back of the head. Very nice finish.
He's got a good look to him. The only thing about him with his look is he seems like a guy that's in prison that's like part of the Aryan Brotherhood.
It's not a bad thing.
He looks like that guy, so he might rub people the wrong way or whatever. But that finish, it's like you full Nelson knee to the head.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a different version of a GTS that actually sells better.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's awesome. I'd love to see him keep getting pushed and everything.
I'd like to see it too. And also the winner of the tournament goes against the TV champion.
Tommaso Ciampa. Yep.
I keep thinking of tomatoes.
I know. It sounds like something you could get.
I hope this guy beats him. I mean, I like this Raymond Rowe guy. Then we saw Scott come out. Speaking of what?
Pushes,
yeah.
Raymond Rowe getting a push. Continue, I'm just saying.
Okay. Veda Scott came out, introduced Artie Evans, who was wearing, like, all pink. He had a cape, which we talked about the cape before. It's like, buddy, why are you wearing a cape? He was 14-0. Finished with a flying headbutt.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that was his finish.
Carino, now. Okay, well, let's continue with this. Okay, so he won with a flying headbutt. He beat some dude. I don't remember who he was. And then Michael Elgin came out because Veda Scott was opening her whore mouth.
Yep, the unbreakable mullet, Michael Elgin.
Said, bring out anyone. Michael Elgin came out. He gave him a powerbomb through, like, two chairs
across from each other, yeah.
So he gets disqualified, so he's still undefeated.
Now he's 15-0.
And it, like I was saying before with Steve Corino, I said this 2 weeks ago about Corino, and I'll say it again. Why the hell is this guy ever in wrestling?
King Old School. Why wouldn't he be?
So he said something that really rubbed me the wrong way. The streak that's 15-0 now, 16-0, something like that.
It's 15 now.
15-0. Okay. 15-0. He's screaming at the top of his lungs, 15-0, 15-0. This is the greatest streak in wrestling history. Moment of silence. What the fuck?
Okay, Goldberg had a better streak. Samoa Joe had a better streak. Ryback had a better streak. And that says a lot.
Kofi Kingston, when he...
Crimson had a better streak in TNA.
Crimson, yeah, there you go.
Him, and he really fucking sucked.
There you go. Yeah.
Beats the dick out of me.
I don't know.
I don't understand it.
I mean, I know what a better streak would look like. If Steve Corino's boyfriend came on his face, that would be a streak.
That would be a streak. No homo.
No homo there. Anyway, moving on. So we saw Tadarius Thomas take on Matt Taven.
Yes, we saw that.
Taven got the victory. He was a former TV champion. And...
the match sucked.
It really did. It sucked.
There was no offense on Tadarius's part. It was just kind of... it wasn't even a squash match. It was just all one-sided, and he was just putting Matt Taven over too
much. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Basically a glorified squash.
Yeah, glorified squash, sure.
Other than that, we saw... sorry, I'm looking at my notes here. Jay Briscoe winning against Bobby Fish, who is the tag champ. Jay Briscoe came out with a stupid little toy belt again. It's getting old. I mean, it's...
you won't see my belt. Let's get my belt. We go up on challenge. Adam Cole. That's what he sounds like.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's better than him, than his brother. Because his brother just looks like he's got Down syndrome.
His brother's even dumber than him.
But, unfortunately, Jay Briscoe won. And Adam Cole got all upset. Probably going to have a match. And then he stole his belt. And
yeah,
I hope Adam Cole beats him. But anyway.
So do I.
Speaking of Adam Cole, I know we kind of are on the opposite side of the fence when we talk about Adam Cole. I personally like the guy. You personally don't?
I'm not a fan of him. He seems like a knockoff of Shawn Michaels, really. I just don't see much into him.
He does do the super kick.
Yeah, he's got the long hair and he's small.
I look at him, and you're right with the small thing, but I look at him and I really see him being a guy that the WWE could pick up one day. But the height factor, though. You know, he's a really short guy. He's probably as tall as, like, Evan Bourne or maybe Kofi Kingston, you know.
I think Kofi Kingston's got a little more
maybe
height.
Kofi Kingston's a little taller than him. You're
he's
right.
Going to be, like, 5'3", 5'4".
I mean, at least CM Punk is, like, 5'9", maybe 5'10".
Around there, yeah.
And Brian, probably the same thing, maybe a little shorter than Punk.
Mm-hmm. But the thing with Brian is he has the muscle mass to make
Adam
it look
Cole,
okay.
Adam Cole's proportionate to his height.
Kind of. His head's pretty big, like a lollipop.
That's the thing, though. But like, he's so small. You know, he's a little, little tiny little wrestler.
Miniature wrestlers, as I said.
You know,
said
miniature wrestlers. And like Jack Specific would have a really good job of making him.
Who would?
Jack Specific, you know, the guys that make the toys.
Oh my God! Yeah.
So, anyway, he's on Kel Cabana's podcast. He was pretty funny. He was with Chuck Taylor, and Chuck Taylor was talking about his manager, the Swamp Monster. And how a Swamp Monster came out of the closet. And the Swamp Monster was on Twitter talking to Darren Young, trying to set up a date, try to do something.
Oh my God.
So he's tweeting at him, hey, we should come out, go out sometime. I'm a nice guy, you know. I'm glad you came out of the closet. I am too. But that's the funny stuff about indie wrestling, is that you get shit like that. You'll never get something like that in the WWE or TNA.
No, they're too political. I think it's funny they should change Darren Young, the primetime player's slogan, to millions and millions of sperms.
And then speaking of that, we saw Darren Young, sorry, not Darren Young, you saw Titus O'Neil walk out on Darren Young on SmackDown this week, and it looks like they are breaking up. And
I guess
Titus O'Neil has had enough of his cock-sucking bullshit.
That cock-sucker!
No pun intended.
The only thing else that we have for ROH would be AJ Styles coming back next week
against Roderick Strong.
Oh, God, Roderick Strong. What a penis he is.
And it's another thing I was saying last night. You had, I'm not really sure what they call it, each other, but you have Roderick Strong, PJ Whitmer, and
Jimmy Jacobs.
These guys are kind of a clique, and their big thing is that they, you know, stayed in ROH, their originals. It's because no one wants to sign you, buddy. Nobody wants to sign any of them because they're shitty.
Look at Roderick Strong. He was in TNA. Like I said, he's based his career off the backbreaker. When you're 5'3" and you try to do the backbreaker, nobody believes you. I'm sorry.
And it's another thing. They did leave ROH. They were in TNA. Yeah. Well, at least Roderick Strong was. I don't remember if Jimmy Jacobs might have been, maybe. I don't know.
And BJ Whitmer definitely not.
No, he definitely was not. But I don't understand. What their whole gimmick doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't.
And Jimmy Jacobs looks like a
tranny.
He looks like a Chris Angel on more meth, you know?
Well, yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
And BJ Whitmer just looks like Ken Anderson on, like...
He looks like a penis.
Like an older Ken Anderson mixed with, like, a Snitsky.
Yeah, or a penis.
And then Roderick Strong just looks like a fucking moron.
He is, dude. He's so little, like, again, with the muscle mass thing. I mean, I'm not Triple H or McMahon about guys having a lot of muscle. But he's just so tiny, and he just looks tiny without any muscle mass, and he's always, I'm Roderick Strong, I can give you a backbreaker. How the fuck are you going to break my back? You're going to hit me with a cinder block? Maybe you'd be able to break my back that way. I go, but your little arms are going to be able to break my back. Get the hell out of here.
So anyway, that will wrap up this week's podcast. I know not a whole lot going on, just kind of giving you a little updated news, the whole CM Punk thing with Sting. Just keep hitting that download button. We'd appreciate it. Follow us at JOB_podcast, Twitter, Relentless716, HeelCinny.
And on Facebook.
On Facebook we're on, JOB Wrestling Podcast, podomatic.com. We're on iTunes. And closing thoughts here. There's a wrestling event in Pittsburgh, February 8th. It's Extreme Rising.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Douglas' experiment.
Yes.
Or whatever you want to call it. You'll see Sabu go against Stevie Richards for the title. Rhino's in there against one of their just guys in their company, not an ECW original or anything. And we'll be there. We'll try to be there.
Try to be there, yeah.
And for you that follow us and listen to us, hopefully you'll be there. Also, if you have another Scott Steiner clip, let us know. We're always up for that. We'll hit you up with another one of them next week. And our answer to our trivia question. Almost forgot. CM Punk had the title for 434 days. There are four other guys that had it longer than CM Punk. The answers?
Pedro Morales.
That's one.
Bob Backlund.
That is two.
Bruno Sammartino.
That's three. And
what's the fourth?
What you gonna do? When Hulkamania runs wild.
Wow, I forgot Hulk Hogan. Jeez.
Hulk Hogan, you can't suck my dick. You can't hold the franchise's dark crown. Because I am what this sport is about. And you are a caricature from the 1980s.
Jesus.
So those are the four. CM Punk is in some history there. Do you know the guy that's had it? A little extra trivia question for all you at home. Do you know who had it just under CM Punk?
John Cena.
That's right.
Of course.
So that'll wrap up our podcast.
Suck a dick.
Suck a dick. For Relentless, this is Joe Cini, and that's the bottom line.